him up. Lift him up. We're here to lift him up. Lift him up. Lift him up. Oh, lift him up. We're gonna lift him up. Give him the highest praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up. Lift him up, oh, lift him up, yes, lift him up. Lift him up, oh, lift him up, yes, lift him up. Lift him up. Praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up. For he is worthy to be lifted up. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. Do want to once again thank you for allowing us to change the schedule a little bit on last Sunday. And we were able to have a department heads meeting on Sunday night. And that was going to be our kickoff for Revival by Design, but we have moved that ahead to this coming Sunday at 6 o'clock here at the church. It will be informal. I don't expect you to dress up like a Sunday night service. It can be business casual. It will be a more of an informal setting. So we want you to come. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to introduce the program Revival by Design, tell you what it is, what it's all about. Hopefully, as I said on Sunday, if you are interested in seeing the church grow and you want to be a part of its growth, and when it does grow, you want to look back and say, I had a hand in that and I helped that happen, then we encourage you to be here and come for our Revival by Design training. And we'll kind of get a count as to how many, because there's folders and curriculum and workbooks and stuff that we're gonna give out, and the church will make the investment of the materials and the copies and all that good stuff. If you will make the investment of your time to come and be a part of that, we did discuss during the department heads meeting. We're not gonna have anything else going on at that time. We want everybody who wants to be involved and be a part of that here in the sanctuary for the training. And children, I would say this, if you have small children or grandchildren that you need to bring with you, that's fine. It would be fine to bring something for them to quietly play with in the pew, because it is going to be more of a teaching kind of informal training, so we won't have music and that sort of stuff, so it will be kind of a more laid-back atmosphere. And so we do encourage you to bring something for the little ones that they can interact with. So hopefully that'll work, and we'll try that for a while, and if we need to change some things, we will. But we're looking forward to kicking that off this coming Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and I hope that you'll be here for that. Sunday morning service, again, we have changed our schedule on Sunday mornings. We have two sessions from 10 o'clock to 10:45 is our Sunday school. All ages are in some Sunday school class that is applicable to their age, if you will, or adult here in the sanctuary for adult Bible study. Sunday school lesson, and then at 11 o'clock we have a break about 10:45, 10:50 to 11 o'clock. And I want to say, Pastor, I appreciate your participation in prayer between that time, and thank you so much for doing that. And then 11 o'clock we kick off our what we call an evangelistic service. We have inspirational preaching, praise and worship. And so that happens at 11 o'clock. So I haven't heard anything negative about the change. Everything that I've heard is positive. The feedback we got during the department heads meeting was positive as well. So we thank you for your consideration in that and going forward. And just looking forward to what God has in store for us. Amen. We're going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. I would ask you to remember Sister Christy, she takes me right before service. She was at work and then got feeling bad again, and she's dealing with upper respiratory stuff, and so she's not able to be here tonight. And I told her that we would pray. Also, Bruce and Michelle, they are home, safe, and sound from their honeymoon. However, you know, they tell you when you go south of the border, don't drink the water. Will, looks as though the first day they were great, and then the second day, and then they're on, it wasn't good. And so they have been sick, they're recovering, but they are back in the state, safe and sound, but do want to lift them up before the Lord. Told them we would have prayer for them tonight. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to make mention? If you slip up your hand, we'll call on you, Sister Kelly. All right. His name's Kyle. Well, Kyle, let's remember. Kyle. 16-year-old Kyle. All right. Certainly. Sister Nancy, I saw you, and then I'll come to you, Sister Graham. Yes. Yes, yeah, I just got a call right before church from Sister Doris. They knew about the one surgery, but when he came out of one surgery, they had to take him to another surgery. And so she asked that we would pray. So I think that right now he may even be in surgery. So let's especially remember Keith Atkins in prayer. Sister Darlene, saw your hand. All right, let's remember Brother Kuntz in prayer, certainly. Brother Mike. Certainly, pray for that situation there, Brother Davis. Right. Certainly, let's remember them in prayer, both of them, certainly. Sister D. His name is Harold. Harold, all right, let's just go. Right. Certainly. Right, certainly. All right, why don't we stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you. Over the needs and names mentioned here in prayer, God. For those in need of a healing touch, Lord, you're able, God. Strengthen to raise up, deliver, God. You are a healer, God. By your stripes, we are healed. The faith and confidence, God, of your ability, God, to heal and save to the uttermost, God. We ask you, Lord, this young man, Kyle, God, dealing with a traumatic situation, Lord, that speak peace to his heart and his life, God. Let it be a catalyst, God, for going forth and doing greater things in you, God. Thank you, Jesus, God, for those who are sick in body, even here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would honor their faithfulness in coming to your house, God, that you would strengthen them, that you would raise them up, God. For those dealing with situations and decisions in their life, God, let them lean upon you, God. Not on their own understanding, God, but in their ways acknowledge you, God. Let you direct their paths, God. Give them strength and help, God. The ability to make the right choice going forward. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you, God. We honor you, God. We lift up Keith before you in prayer, God. The surgeon's hands right now, God, as they're dealing with him, God. Lord, give them wisdom in his situation, God. There'll be full and complete recovery, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God. You are so good. You are so good. You are so good, God. In your precious name we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. You may be seated. We are continuing in our study of boundaries. I want to publicly thank Brother Bill Kellum during our department heads meeting on Sunday night. I gave him access to Facebook, and he's already done wonders with it. And one of the things that he did, I noticed today, was he posted about the Bible study tonight. And the graphic that he posted on Facebook was a graphic that I had been looking for when I first started this series. And I saw it, and I texted him. I said, where did you get that graphic? And he said, well, I made it. And I said, well, would you be so kind as to share? And he did, and I said, you'll see it tonight. And so I've changed the beginning graphic, but and I like this one a lot better. It's just a lot cleaner, so it's just my own preference. But if you knew how long it took me to do that first one, that's the frustrating part. That's the frustrating part. But we are continuing in our study of boundaries, what they are, how to set them. Last week we dealt with the difference between a load or our own personal load and the boulder, or those things that we are to share in and we are to help others with. And we talked about knowing the difference and allowing God to lead and guide us to see the needs of others where we can help. Those situations where people cannot do things on their own, they don't have the ability to lift the weight, the boulder, and so we are to help them. But for God to also give us restraint, that when it is someone's responsibility and it is their load that God has placed upon them to carry, and it is for them to carry alone, that we are careful not to involve ourselves in that. We talked about our responsibilities in that way, and our responsibilities to ourselves to adequately carry those things that God has placed into our care. Our attitudes, our emotions, our behaviors, those things that while they may be affected by other people, ultimately they are our responsibility. And the way we carry them, the way that we bear those loads, if you will, we do so with the understanding that it is our responsibility and our responsibility alone. We talked about in the sense of a generation, how that we are raising a generation that unfortunately they don't know, or we haven't, might I say, adequately taught them how to bear their responsibility. And so going a little further tonight, we're gonna talk a little bit more with why we have boundary issues. Now, I don't know about you, but I admit it and will readily admit this is a subject matter for me because I have boundary issues. There are some places that I have put a wall that I should have a gate. And there are some places where I've put a gate where I should have a wall. And so understanding that and understanding why we may in our humanity and in our carnality, if you will, misplaced boundaries, why we may have some boundary issues. And I'm going to begin with a scripture, and I hope you'll, throughout the course of tonight, you'll understand why I'm using this scripture as our focus verse, because I think it poignantly says what we all need to understand when it comes to our boundaries, when it comes to properly placing our boundaries and not having boundary issues. It's found in Matthew 5:37. It says in the King James, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. We would say, let your communication be yes, yes, or no, no. Whatever's more of that is, according to the words of Jesus, cometh of evil. If you look it up in the Greek, the interlinear Greek, you will find that it says it this way. Let it be, however, the statement of you, yes, yes, no, no. Anything moreover than these from evil comes. In other words, and we're going to get into a little bit more, there's sometimes that because of my boundary issues, I say yes when I should say no. There are other times, because of boundary issues, I say no when I should say yes. And so my communication, though I may externally say no, internally I may know I need to say yes. And sometimes externally I may say yes, but internally I know I need to say no. And because of some boundary issues that I have, I don't put the wall where the wall needs to be. Or I don't put the gate where the gate needs to be. Instead, I get it backwards. Instead, I put the gate where the wall should be, and I put the wall where the gate should be. And so I have some boundary issues. My communication is not what it should be all the time, because it's not always yes, yes. Sometimes it's yes, no. Or sometimes it's no, yes. Meaning I say no, but I know it should be yes, or I say yes, and I know it should be no. Jesus says, whatsoever is more than this comes evil. In other words, there's bad that results from me saying yes when I should say no. And there's bad or evil that comes from me saying no when I should say yes. So Jesus is trying to help us understand there's a reason why we have boundaries, and the proper placement of these boundaries, the proper placement of the wall as opposed to the gate, or the gate as opposed to the wall, it's essential. Because moreover than this comes evil. Therein we have struggles. Therein we do things improperly. Therein our behavior is not what it should be. Because we haven't placed the boundary where we should place the boundary. Or we've misplaced the boundary. We've put something there that shouldn't be there. And we don't have something there that should be there. And I know I'm saying the same thing in many different ways, but I want you to get the point. Jesus said, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Because anything more than this, from this comes evil. So let's talk about the boundary issue types. These we're going to go over in detail tonight. This is the subject matter for tonight. The reason why we have boundary issues. The reason why we don't do what we should do many times in properly placing boundaries in our lives is because we have issues. We are either compliance, which means we're saying yes to the bad. Or we're avoidance, which means we're saying no to the good. Sometimes we're controllers. We don't respect boundaries. We may sometimes properly say yes and properly say no, but we don't have respect to others and when they say yes or when they say no. So sometimes we're controlling in the sense that we don't respect others' boundaries. They've put a wall there and we think it should be a gate. Or they put a gate there, we think it should be, we don't properly respect their boundaries, and so we're controlling, we're a controller. Now, as you can see, as we get in this study, we'll find that we're a mix of these. We will find ourselves at different points of time manifesting these types, and the reason why is because there's something deficient in our lives that keeps us from properly placing the boundary where it should be. So we're either compliant, or we're avoidant, or we're controlling. And those controllers, we have two types of controllers, if you will. The aggressive controller, and we have the manipulative controller. Some of y'all are already, Been there. Had those people in my life. But sometimes we are compliant, avoidant, and we manipulate. Did you get all that? Sometimes we're compliant, avoidant, and we manipulate. Now, just hold on. Just stay with me. I'm going to show you how that can be. Because we, in our humanity, we manifest these types. And we have issues where boundaries are concerned. So let's look at these in detail. Let's look at what it means to be a compliant. Let's look at the compliance. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you find yourself in this category. As we go through this, you'll probably find yourself. Or you'll think back of situations where, yep, I was compliant in that situation. I said yes to the bad. I said yes to something that was ultimate. Now, understand this. It doesn't necessarily mean that what it is bad. It just means I've said yes to something that's not good for me maybe at that time. I've said yes, I've been compliant, but I should have said no. It doesn't mean at a later time when maybe there was less on my plate or when the circumstances were different, I should say yes. But right now at this particular time, I've said yes to the bad. These people have indistinct boundaries that melt into the demands of others. All gates, no walls. They capitulate easy. They're compliant. They don't want to say no to other people because they don't want to disappoint people. And so they'll help people with their little, you know, their little knapsacks, like we talked about last week, when God intended for them to carry it themselves. And so they feel like they got to be compliant, and they want to be loving, and they feel that if they say no, they're not being loving, so they say yes. Compliant. Okay, yes. All right, yes. Okay, yes. All right, yes. They comply. They don't want to say no. Well, let's take that back. They do want to say no. And deep down inside, they know they need to say no. But they just can't bring themselves to do it. They know they should say no. They even want to say no. Yes. Thinking no. Feeling no. But they just can't bring themselves to say no. And so they say yes. They're compliant. Internally, they know they need to say no, but fear and guilt have them replying externally with a yes. Well, I'm going to disappoint them, or they're not going to think of me well, and they're going to think I don't care about their situation, and I'm going to feel guilty if I tell them no. If I tell them I've already got too much going on. If I tell them no, that's not really my responsibility. No, that's something for you. That's not really something for me. And if I do that, then I'm going to feel bad. I'm going to feel like I've disappointed them, like I've let them. They believe in me. They think I can do it. They want me to do it. I've got the ability to do it. I know I should say no, but yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll fit that in between 6:07 and 6:15. I'll make it work. Yes. Internally, no, this isn't good for me. Internally, I know I already got too much on my plate. Internally, I already know that I've said yes to other things and other people, and it just keeps piling on me, but I just can't bring myself to say no. So yes, I'll do it. Not a problem. I'll take care of it. It'll happen. It'll get done. Compliance externally creates resentment internally. Here's the thing. They know they need to say no. They feel they need to say no, but they can't bring themselves to say no, and so they say yes. But after they say yes, even at the moment that they say yes, many times they already resent saying yes. Man, why did I do that? Why did I put that? Why, that's not me. That I don't need to be doing that. That should be somebody else's. And so what happens is resentment begins to creep up. And then they start resenting the person for asking them. Why did they ask me? Well, they could have asked somebody else. Yeah, but you all could have said no. And maybe the reason why they did come to you and ask you is because they know of your inability to say no. Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Maybe they know how to manipulate. Maybe they know that I'm fearful and I feel guilty if I say no. So they can come to me and, would you do this for me? Yes. I'm compliant. But now I'm starting to resent the fact that they even came to me. Now I'm not doing it out of joy anymore. My yes is not really a yes. My yes is a no. My communication is not yes, yes. My communication is yes, no. Yes, no. Yes, I'd love to. I hate to. Yes, I would be glad to. No, I'm so sad that I have decided to do this. Now I resent the fact that I said yes. Why am I a pushover? Why do I let everybody pile this on me? Why am I so fearful of rejection? And why am I so scared that I'm going to disappoint somebody so much that I constantly disappoint myself? Ooh. I'm compliant. But isn't that what we're supposed to be? Isn't that way? I mean, isn't that the way we're, as Christians, we're just supposed to say whatever anybody wants to do and have us do? Yes. We are the people of yes. Whatever you need, come ask us. It is a yes. Careful. Careful. Because if I don't have it in me to start understanding, I've got to put some wall up in my life. See, compliance are very susceptible to peer pressure. Compliance are very susceptible to melting into the environment, to being the chameleon, to just kind of going along to get along. Where would you like to go to eat? Well, I don't really don't care. Wherever you want to eat. Inside they're saying, man, I really want some Mexican. I should have got a few amens on that one. They just go along to get along, and it's easier. It makes it smoother that way. I don't ruffle anybody's feathers. Nobody gets up. Everybody likes me. Everybody knows that they can come to me, and I'll say yes. But what I don't realize is that I'm saying yes to some bad. Because it's affecting me. It's affecting me internally. It's affecting other relationships in my life. It's affecting me. It's having an effect. And I've got to learn that sometimes it is essential for me to understand a wall should be there. No. No. I'm sorry. I still love you. But it's a no. Not my responsibility. No. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This is the area I have trouble. I have trouble telling people no. I do. I have trouble telling people saying, nope. Would you do this for me? Yes. This is an area I have boundary issues. It's a lot easier to say yes and just try to make it work and make it happen. And then if it doesn't and the disappointment and all that, I'll take all that on. I got big shoulders. I can do that. Mm-hmm. We take on too many responsibilities and set too few boundaries because fear and guilt have them acquiesce, saying yes to the bad. Yes. No problem. I'll do it. And then you have the avoidance, saying no to the good. Have rigid boundaries. None shall pass. No one gets in. All walls, no gates. Avoidance. Uh-uh. Nope. I don't even say yes to the good. I say no to the good. I don't even have a gate where I can let good stuff in. I don't allow other people to help me. I don't even ask for help. I'm avoiding it. I don't want the conflict. I don't want the people to look at me and say, maybe I've met somebody that would say no. And so I'll just kind of be introverted and just kind of keep it all to myself and just, I'll just avoid. I'm avoiding. Internally, they want and know they need to say yes. Can I help you with that? I want to say yes, but I say no. No, I got it. I can take care of it. Okay. And they walk away and we say, man, I got so much going on. I could have just let them do it. Why didn't I say yes to the good? They wanted to help me. They wanted to be involved in the situation, but I couldn't even say yes to the good. I couldn't even allow them to help me. They have an inability to ask for help, to let others in. They attempt to carry the boulders by themselves. I can do it. I can do it all. I can carry my load, and I can carry the boulder. And though other people see me strain under the weight of it, and they know I need help, they come and they ask, can I help you? And I'm avoidant, so I say, no, I got it. It's obvious that I don't. I know I need to say yes. Inside, I know I need to look at them and say, oh, yes, please help me. Oh, yes, I am swamped. I got so much going on. Oh, please, if you could do anything I can give you here, help me, help share this load. And they come and they want to help, but I look at them and say, no, it's okay, I got it. I don't want to inconvenience them. I don't want to mess up their day. My day's already messed up. Why both of our days get messed up? So we don't say yes to the good. We don't let others in. We don't let other people help us. We don't let them share the load and the responsibility. We attempt to carry the boulder all by ourselves. I got it. I can do this. In the meantime, we're just getting weaker by the moment, and we're dealing with all this stuff, and good brothers and sisters want to help. They want to share the weight of the boulder that's on my back, but maybe this is all for me to carry all by myself. Maybe it isn't. Because avoidance externally creates chaos internally. I say no when they want to help, and I don't. They ask me, "Hey, do you want to talk about it?" No. Nope. I say no, but inside I know I need to talk about it. Hey, do you need help? No, nope, I got it. Meanwhile, I've seen it. I've been there with people. They're on the very point of breaking. Man, the eyes watering. Hey, can I do it? Can I help you? Can we talk? Nope. Got it. We'll make it. Wait a second. You've misplaced some boundaries. You got a wall, and here's where you need to have a gate. Here someone's knocking, and here I stand at the door and knock. Know the verse? If any man will open, I will come and I will sup with him. You need to understand what happens many times when we're avoidant and we have this avoidant mentality. We won't even give in to God. We won't even allow the Lord to help us. Sometimes we feel like, well, it's because of my decisions, because of things. And maybe some of it is. Maybe I have made some bad decisions, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't want me to look to my brothers and sisters to help me through the situation. That doesn't mean that God hasn't placed it on my brother or my sister's heart, and they see the strain and they come to me and say, hey, can I help you? Let me in. Let me help you. No, I got it. The impermeable boundaries of avoidance close them off to their, catch this, God-given needs. The Lord wants us to understand we cannot do it by ourselves. The boulders that He has placed in our lives, He never intended for us to move those on our own. He intended for us to lean on our brothers and sisters and say, yes, I need your help. Say yes to the good. Yes, I need you to help me through this. Yeah, this situation is tough. And yeah, my marriage is really going through it right now. But God forbid that I would be that vulnerable, and I would be that candid, and I would be that transparent enough to look at you and say, yes! I need your help. This is becoming more than I can bear. And I need someone to talk to, and I need to vent, and I need to express some of these emotions, because I'm keeping them all inside. And I want to say yes so bad, but I keep saying no because I'm avoidant and I've misplaced boundaries in my life, and that causes chaos internally. We all know them, and we've probably been there ourselves. It just makes me vulnerable when I open up. And then somebody may have access to some intricacies of my life. I don't know. I don't know if I want to be that vulnerable. I don't know if I want to open up that much. I don't know if I want to let people in that far, because in that, it's better if I just build the wall and keep it. Say, no, none shall pass. You're not getting through here. No, I got this. We misplace boundaries. What about the compliant avoidant? You say, wait a second, that wasn't in there. Well, it's a mix of one and two. I'll give you an example. Saying no to the good and yes to the bad. When someone needs hours with me, I can't say no. When I just need a few minutes of help, I can't ask for it. Whew. And here's where we find ourselves a lot of the time. Compliant, avoidant. Yeah, I need you to do this. Move this mountain with me. Yes, no problem. Be there. Can you help me with this molehill? I can't even ask for it. Compliant, avoidant. They have reverse boundaries. They have gates where they need walls, and they have walls where they need gates. Backwards. They give of themselves and help others with their loads, but they can't bring themselves to ask for help with their boulders. They just can't do it. You need help with that knapsack? Not a problem. I'll help you. Even though God intended you to carry that all by yourself, guess what? Give me one of those straps. We'll carry it together. Is that your boulder? Nope. Well, it is, but I got it. Comply and avoid it. Here's the key. They become stuck in a cycle of pouring out in compliance and refusing help and avoidance, feeling perpetually drained. Always giving out. Always pouring out. Always helping others. Always giving my time, my effort, my resources. But when somebody wants to know if they can help me, nope, I got it. They pour out, but they never get poured into. They drain and they drain and they, man, it's living for God stuff. It's tough. I got to give and give and give. Well, maybe he's trying to get you to learn to start receiving as well. Maybe he's trying to get you to understand you got some boundary issues. Maybe the reason why you're drained all the time and you're all the time feeling exhausted is because you need some help with boundaries. We need to know how to properly place the things where God would have them to be placed. Then you have the controllers. Not respecting others' boundaries. These kind of people, they don't respect the boundaries of others. No is simply a challenge. No means maybe, and maybe means yes. You ever heard that? If you're in sales or ever know someone who's been in sales, it's the perpetual rainbow vacuum salesperson. I don't know if anybody's ever done that. If you have, I hope you don't offend you. They don't respect the boundaries of other people. I'll stay in your house until you either call the police or you buy the vacuum cleaner. I don't care if it's dinner time. I don't care if your kids need to go to bed. I got to make this sale. I know you've told me no 5 times, but no means maybe. And maybe means yes. Somewhere along the line, I'm going to get you. You're avoidant now, but I'm going to make you compliant. At some point in time, I'm going to control the issue. They often fail to respect the limits of others while demanding respect of their limits. I don't hear your no. Your no sounds like a maybe to me, and a maybe is a yes. But if I say no, you better adhere immediately. Because my no emphatically means no. Nada. Your no? Nah. Might mean no. Might not mean no. It might mean maybe, and a maybe might mean yes. You can easily say no, but have trouble hearing the no of others. I can tell you no easy. Can you help me? Nope. Hey, why don't you come over here and lend a hand over here? Controllers. They get others to carry their weight by controlling with manipulation and aggression. So let's talk about that. Two types of controllers, if you will. There are the aggressive controllers. Boundaries? What boundaries? I'm the only person with boundaries. I'm the only one that's got the no trespassing signs up. Yeah, and you better adhere, and you better abide by those. I'm free to go wherever I want to go. Boundaries? What boundaries? In relation to you? I don't hear you. No, I don't hear that. I don't hear a no. What boundaries? They run over his other's boundaries with a tank. Walls, gates, fences, doesn't matter. It's all the same. It's all easily destroyed. You can control the situation. You control where the boundaries are. If you don't like the boundary being there, pff, there is no boundary. What boundary? Well, that boundary you just mulled over. Pff, not a boundary anymore, is it? Well, I was saying no. Yeah, whatever. Controllers. Now, I know. We say, well, man, that a Christian should be so far away from that type of person. Understandably. And I realize that I may be taking it to a somewhat facetious end, if you will. But the reality is the same. There are individuals who are controllers. And a lot of times these individuals are in high levels of leadership and are bosses and in management. And they've got there because climbing the ladder meant stepping over someone else. And they didn't really care about boundaries. And they only really cared about what they wanted and what they desired. And so it was only a no if it was a no to them, and only a yes if it was a yes to them. These people can be verbally or physically abusive. Sometimes even in relations, there is a controller. And that individual controls it. And folks, it's not always the male. It's controllers. Sometimes they simply aren't aware or even care that others may have boundaries. It's like they don't even exist. What boundaries? I don't even care that you have. I don't even care. Boss call at dinner time. He doesn't care if you're having dinner with your family. It doesn't matter. I got to have this done tomorrow. Well, I'm on vacation tomorrow. Well, it doesn't matter. I need you to come in and do this. No, boundaries. Got boundaries. It's as if they live in a world of yes in relation to themselves, and there is no place for someone else's no. What about manipulative controllers? They see the boundary, but they think it should be elsewhere. I see what you're saying. I hear you no. But I don't really think you want to say no. I think you want to say yes. I hear you. I understand. Well, I know you're saying no right now, but I mean, could it be a yes? Is there a yes anywhere? I mean, see, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe, you see, they know how to use the guilt and the fear, and they know how to manipulate that, and they see the boundary. They hear the no. They hear you saying no, but they think it really should be a yes, and so maybe they control, they can just spin it a little bit. They can manipulate the situation just a little bit, and they have a little control. They push certain buttons and say certain things, and well, then maybe I can change that no into a yes. I can really get what I want to out of the situation. I'm not going to be overly aggressive about it. I'm not going to act as if your no doesn't exist. I'm even going to recognize your no. But I'm going to do it in such a way that it makes you feel bad about saying no. And I'm going to use guilt and fear and manipulation to get you to reconsider your no so that just maybe you will capitulate and say yes. And then I've gotten what I wanted. So I manipulate. I see your no. I want it to be a yes. So what can we do to change that N-O into a Y-E-S? And then I'll get what I need. They will indirectly manipulate the situation to attempt to get their way. Doesn't always work. Now, it will be sometimes that a controller will start out manipulative and end up aggressive if the manipulation doesn't work. That happens sometimes. The manipulation really didn't work. They didn't get the end result that they wanted, so they turned aggressive in the situation. That happens. They hear the no, but feel they convince you to say yes. I can get that in. I know it's no. These are the real good salespeople. These are the ones that can take that objection and turn it around. Because I'm only really going to, it's going to take about three no's before I'm convinced that you really have a wall there. Because if I can get you to start considering after the second no, that third no may not come, and I may have a maybe by that point. And yes, a maybe is a yes. So I can manipulate the situation. They use guilt and fear of the compliant as leverage to get their way. Wow, this is what happens a lot of times in relationships, where one becomes a compliant and the other becomes the controller. Now, I'm going to tell you in the authority of God's word, that's wrong. When an individual who is a controller seizes upon the guilt and fear of the compliant one and then uses that as leverage to get their his or her way, that is wrong. It's as if the compliant is completely disarmed. It's as if they manipulate the situation and they take any authority or any ammo that compliant person has and they just strip it from them and they just leave them there with all their fear and guilt and they manipulate till that compliant person who so desperately wanted to say no, yes. While it may appear they get what they want, they are still slaves to their appetite. And delaying gratification is difficult for them. This is what controllers are all about. It's about instant gratification. And they don't want to work hard themselves to make it happen. And they'll get other people and they'll manipulate the situation. They'll even be aggressive sometimes to control, to get to the gratification quicker. And so they control the situation and they latch on to the fear and the guilt and they use it as leverage because they ultimately want their way. And they will do whatever they can as fast as they can to get their way. It's about satisfying their own wants, needs, and desires. They don't want to delay the gratification. Give it to me now. I'll control the situation so I can get what I want when I want it. No, don't wait. I don't want to wait. No, later. No, I don't want it to be later. I want it to be now. Well, can we just put it off? No, we can't put it off. It's got to happen now, today. Hurry. Get it done. Let me see. And this is what I want us to understand. And as I'm coming to a close, fear is the catalyst of boundary issues. I'll show you. Fear is the catalyst of boundary issues. The compliant fear. Compliance fear letting others down by saying no. They fear rejection. They fear that they're going to disappoint other people. They fear that that person's not going to look at them in the same. They fear, and so internally they want to say, they do want to say no, but they can't. And so they say yes, and they just capitulate, and they comply and say yes. And the catalyst of that is fear. They're scared they're going to disappoint somebody. They're scared somebody's not going to think the world of them. And the avoidance fear letting others in by saying yes. The avoidance fear being vulnerable. The avoidance fear allowing someone else to help them. They know they need help, but they think maybe that help's going to come with a price. And if they let that individual in, then they're going to have to turn around and do something else. And they're going to have to be more vulnerable or more transparent and more candid. And no, let's not do that. I'm fearful of what they may, how would they use that? Could, if I let them in and I tell them that I'm dealing with this, are they going to go talk to other people about it? Is there going to be gossip? And then all these rumors are going to be spreading. And oh my goodness, in my good name and who I am, people are going to look down at me and my integrity and my character is going to be jeopardized. And so I can't say yes because I'm fearful of letting people in. Whoa. None shall pass. Because if I let you in, I'm vulnerable. And I'm fearful about what that vulnerability will do and how it will negatively affect me. Controllers fear having to do things by themselves and feel if they stop threatening and manipulating, they would be abandoned. A lot of times controllers, if given the task of what they get others to do were given to them individually, they would fail miserably. And they know this. Deep down inside, there is something down, and they recognize that I got to get others on board, and I've got to manipulate and control, and I got to be aggressive as necessary in order to make this happen. It's got to go like this, and if it's all left to me, I'm going to fail. I can't do this on my own. And so I've got to make sure I've got other people here. I've got to have a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. And your plan A, and your plan B, and your plan C. What about you? Well, I'm just going to control A, B, and C and make sure that it all works out. But what if A, B, and C stand by their no, and then they, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get more threatening. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to manipulate the situation. There's no way A, B, and C are not. One of them's coming through for me. Because if they don't come through for me, I don't know what I'm going to do. So the fear of being alone and having to do it all by themselves nope, not going to happen. I'm not going to be alone in this. I can't do it. So I'll threaten and I'll manipulate and I'll control it to make sure I'm not left holding the bag by myself. Because I've never had to lift it on my own. I've never had to carry my own knapsack. I don't know if my shoulders are capable of carrying that, but get the point? Fear is the catalyst for all boundary issues, whether they be compliant, avoidant, controlling. Fear is the catalyst. See, love is the perfect boundary placement. Love equals perfect boundary placement. When I truly love, there is no fear in love. For perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The compliant has got to learn to love and understand that when they say no, they can still say it in love. And not just a love for others, a love for themselves and other relationships that are affecting negatively when they don't learn how to say no. And avoidance. Avoidance need to allow the love of others and the help of others into their life. They need to learn how to put gates up. They need to learn how to say yes to the good and allow other people to love them. Confess your faults one to another that ye may be healed, that you may be strengthened. I don't want to talk about it. I want to avoid it. Unfortunately, you continue in that. It's a boundary issue. And I hope somewhere along the line you believe in the love of your brother and your sister enough to open up and let them in. Help them bear the boulder with you. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Because as long as you let the fear remain and you are avoidant, there's torment, there's chaos inside. Love will help us set the walls and gates in the right places to help our yes be a yes, and our no, be a no. I'm closing, you can stand. Maybe it helps me understand a little better why Jesus said, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. Anything beyond that. Moreover than this comes evil. Because when you're yes, should be a no, and your no should be a yes. The reason why you've said no when you should say yes is fear. And the reason why you've said yes when you should say no is fear. And fear hath torment. But perfect love casteth out all fear. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for your word. It shows, reveals, teaches us, God, proper boundary placement in our lives, God. Let us learn to build proper boundaries, God. Walls where walls need to be and gates where gates need to be. God, as we learn and love, God, we look therein to your word, God, to help us establish and be what you would have us to be, to put boundaries in the right places. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. All that you are and all that you do. In your precious name, in Jesus' name we ask it. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.